spirit and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today's sermon is entitled, Come Not in Terrors. Robert read the last words of the Old Testament just a little while ago. And as you probably have been able to figure out by now, the one phrase that I have been featuring all the way through the service is this. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. The Old Testament lesson also mentions the law of Moses and the prophet Elijah, who has come to set all things straight again. We know that in the New Testament, that's fulfilled in John the Baptizer. But we hear that the day is coming that will set people ablaze. That sounds unfortunate. It will leave neither root nor brand, nor branch. But we will go out leaping like calves from the stalls. The prophet Elijah will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the hearts of children to their fathers. Thus God himself come and strike the land. The decree of utter desolation. We know the one who rose like the sun, who like the sun is the light of the world. We know of a time, as a matter of fact, when he shone like the sun here on earth. A time when literally Moses and Elijah were to either side of him at the Transfiguration. And we have just confessed that he will come again in glory. So with the hymn writer we pray, Lord, come not in terrors as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healing in thy wings. Tears for all folk, all woes, a heart for every plea. Come, friend of sinners, O abide with me. It'd be easy to focus on the terrors. We are naturally captivated, fascinated, intrigued, and repulsed all at the same time by tales and spectacles of violence. The 4th century Christian theologian Augustine shared his meditations on powerful visions of violence in his book, The Confessions. He tells of his friend Alypius, who was going to the Roman games. Spectators watched as gladiators engaged in mortal combat with each other and sometimes with wild animals. People delighted in this killing as entertainment. One day, Alypius decided he was going to keep his eyes shut. But then he heard the crowd cry out, and he looked, and he saw the scene. One of the warriors was wounded, and his blood poured out, and the people roared. Alypius was drawn in by the vision, and unable to turn away. We have a similar expression these days. We talk about it like a train wreck, or like a car wreck, a wreck on the highway. You can't look. You can't not look. When he left the games, Alypius was healthy in body, but wounded in soul. The vision of violence had won him and wounded him. Today, people can't help but look at accidents on the roadside, or especially on the highway. We dwell on school shootings far to find such stories. As you know, on Tuesday, 11, I think there were only 14 police cars in Joplin. 11 of them were across the street from the parsonage. Evidence van, SWAT, everything you can think of. And the police cars stayed parked in front of the parsonage all week until yesterday, when the crime tape came down. There was one parked on Vermont, on our lawn, and there was sometimes on the street, but usually on our lawn. And there was one parked over on 26th Street, just off the street, 24 hours a day. I know it's disturbing. That's why I went to Augusta and the scene from the 4th century, so we could put a little bit of distance between us and our interaction with violence. But the fact that we dwell on such examples tells me how powerful visions of violence still are. They fascinate us and captivate us even today. That's why we have to be a little bit careful with this text that has been misused by so many. When Jesus offers us visions of the violence, this is not violence as entertainment. The disciples are told that the sacred places on earth will be destroyed. Families will be shattered. Jerusalem itself will fall. Nations all over the world will be in upheaval, and no one will be saved. Nature itself will begin to convulse. All things move toward a violent end. And the problem with these visions is that people end up being fascinated by the vision itself. It's hard to turn away from it. People look at these predictions and they start to interpret them like a Ouija board or like tarot cards, trying to figure out the divine turntable. You can tell when I grew up. Timetable. The divine timetable of the end times, of the last things. As if that were the point of the text. Some try to use it to predict the end of the world and the return of Jesus. Just to dismiss it very quickly, if you read over it later on, you'll be able to see that there are three distinctive times that Jesus is talking about. One is going to come before the fall of Jerusalem, right around that time. And that's going to be that the disciples will be taken captive. They'll have an opportunity to profess Jesus Christ immediately before and immediately after the fall of Jerusalem, which is the second time period. And there is the time period when all the world will be convulsed and the Son of Man will come in glory. That's the third one. Jesus doesn't spend any time separating them carefully. He says one thing to the disciples about all three of those times. I am with you. Knowing when it will happen is not knowing that it will happen and that Christ will be with us. That is. Jesus offers this vision of violence not so that we might be drawn into it, but that we might be drawn through it to be closer to Him. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy power? Who like thyself my guide and stay may be? Through cloud and sunshine, who abide with me. Instead of looking away from the violence, and instead of looking at the violence, Jesus calls us to see through the violence. When you look through these visions of violence, you see Jesus. We view the King. We witness the one who rules and reigns over all things. In the midst of upheaval and suffering and uncertainty and change and decay, we see the comfort of Christ. Jesus reveals God's presence in the suffering. During this upheaval, God sustains his people. When they're persecuted, Jesus will be with them. He will inspire them to speak words of wisdom no one will be able to countermand or withstand. And when they are martyred, their lives will give witness. Though they are destroyed, not a hair of their head will be harmed. How's that possible? You cut people in pieces after burning them at the stake, and not a hair of their head is harmed? Jesus raises you from the dead. Restores you, as I said 2 weeks ago, not only to everything that you were, but everything you were meant to be. Jesus Christ is Lord, who will renew all things. He knows that those who trust in him, and though they may be wounded, they also have been won. They're won by his wounds on the cross, claimed by his victory. Jesus calls us to look through the violence and to know that he will return. He will bring all evil to an end. And we will see him, our Redeemer, in all of his glory, reigning over a new creation. So with our Lord, the risen Son of Righteousness, I encourage you not to look away from the violence or to look at the violence, but look through it to see Jesus. Christ is present with his people in their every suffering. Lift up your head and see how Christ promises to be with you in the glory of the new creation. Lift up your heads and live in hope, because the final redemption of all things is near. Lord, abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord. With me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, go abide with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.